Welcome to another episode of Victory the Podcast. I'm Doug Ellen.
I'm Kevin Dillon.
Victory!
That noise never gets old. Irish crickets.
Irish crickets, baby.
We're going to cover season two, episode two. My Maserati does 185.
You know, it's weird. My girlfriend, when I opened a soda, she said it reminds me of the podcast right now and Kevin Dillon, which is so weird. So,
you throw victory afterwards?
One thing, I want to thank all the people that are actually listening. We're growing every week despite...
Nice. I didn't know that.
That's despite the limited budget for the advertisements that the businessman Kevin Connelly is giving us.
The businessman won't shell out.
Yeah. Well, you guys got to start fucking doing some downloads and then maybe...
Oh, hey now. I know I can feel we're doing downloads, even though he won't give us the numbers, by the way. He keeps them secretive. He keeps them.
How do you know we're doing good?
I'm here to confirm that.
I think we're doing well.
That's good.
You're building.
Nice.
You're on the trajectory that you want to be on.
Yes.
Doug wants it right now, and it's like it's got to build, but it's building at a far higher rate than I could have ever imagined.
Listen, nice. As I've said, this will be a compliment to both of you, but this was not a money play. None of us are getting paid for this at this point. And I wanted to do this because it would be fun, and it's been more fun than I could have imagined. And I also wanted to say one of the reasons we want to do this, because we are good friends and the guests that we bring in are good friends, and lots of people on Instagram are hitting all of us about when other people are coming on the show and whether there's fights with people, whether there's this and that. Let me just say a couple of things. There's no fights with anybody. It's absolutely miraculous that people who made a show that ended 5 years ago was the last time we worked together, I guess, even on the movie, that there are this many of us who are this close. And everyone that we're bringing on the podcast, with the exception of Gary Busey, who I love, are really good friends of mine. Gary is not a really good friend of mine. I would be. He probably wouldn't accept me as a friend. But but everybody else is a good friend.
He doesn't remember you.
He did not remember me. But as far as other people, Adrian Grenier is like a brother.
I love Adrian.
He's like a brother to all of us. And he will do the podcast at some point. We will get him. But all listeners, I'm asking you for a couple of favors. One, just hit Grenier's Instagram and tell him.
I'm sure they're hitting his Instagram. Don't sick your twisted.
I don't have enough followers.
Instagram followers on Grenier.
Everybody hit Grenier and tell him you'd like to hear it on him. And we'll talk about whatever he wants, because Adrian is doing some great stuff for the environment and the world. We'll talk about that or whatever. I mean, he probably doesn't even remember playing Vince, but anyway, it would be great to have him, and I guarantee at some point we'll have him.
I'm sure he gets a shit ton of messages from people.
I want more.
We don't need a call to arms, Doug.
call to arms.
I need you to send in the troops. Grenier's Instagram. You're going to scare the guy off.
I need you to just fucking go at him and go after him, okay? And then the other thing I need, everyone go, if you like the show, everyone go rate it 5 stars, everyone download, subscribe, and put it in your Instagram stories and send it to other people, because that's how we spread the word.
Now, actually, I would agree with you about that, Doug. It's true.
Yeah.
You go and you write, you know, 5 stars and subscribe, and that's how you build the audience, and that's how the word spreads. So I agree with you there, Doug.
Cool.
And I taught you that, I'm sure.
Yeah, you did. You taught me a lot. And then as far as Jeremy, I mean, here's the reality. I asked him once. I promise you, he'll never be asked again in my life. I did enough. As far as I'm concerned, I busted my ass for 13 years. I delivered, and everybody that I've asked to do this show has quickly responded, yes. I did not get that response from Jeremy. That's fine. I don't give a shit.
What did he say? Did he respond at all?
Let's circle back at some point.
He said, I'm doing my own podcast. Let's circle back.
Honestly, I don't want him.
Doug is...
It would be great to have him, Doug.
Yeah,
well, whatever.
The bottom line is, I believe this is what I said. The show is about friendship and about loyalty and all that stuff. And whoever doesn't feel that for whatever reason, it's not my problem and I don't care.
Well, people will say on Instagram, they'll be like, well, something happened. And I said to somebody the other day, I said, no, nothing happened. It's just always sort of been the dynamic. You know, no problems. Just
But it's also
the four guys were closer. Jeremy was doing Jeremy. And by the way, worked for the show.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't change any of that.
And also, though, how rare is it, as you guys know from all the stuff you've done, I mean, to have a show, I legitimately have 75 to 100 people that worked on this show, from the crew to actors to whatever, that I could call up and have a meal with or get them to do this or whatever. So that's pretty rare that happens. So there are great friendships that came out of
this. Do they all follow you on Instagram?
You know what? Not all of them. Some of them don't.
I
don't know. I don't think they like my content or something, but you know.
You overwhelm them a little much?
Thank you, Kevin Dillon. Well, you know, some people are talking about, because my girlfriend has been making some amazing food, and Connelly is this food hater.
I am too, a little bit, but her food does look amazing, but I don't really
just give
care
it a
to
like.
See other people's. I like anything you post.
You know, it makes her feel nice.
And anything she posts.
And Kevin obviously doesn't
like
Sarah.
I love Sarah.
I just don't like
and
the food
I didn't,
posts.
Yeah.
I don't want to see other people's food.
Yeah.
Just makes me hungry.
Yeah, right, just like I don't want to see other people's like inspirational quotes. I mean, just whatever.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about how we can all
and
support each other.
I can do without your animal. Not your animal, dog. Whoever's
no,
dog.
Baron?
The dog. Talking about food. Fucking 40
about
times
Baron?
A day. I'm not talking about I love Baron.
Because I had to go to
check Baron on you. Baron
by the way,
take
also,
you
too,
down,
dog
bro.
Is like, yo, big, all jokes aside, don't fucking talk about Baron. I'll come out of that room. No, I love Baron.
By the way, Davis, I'm sure named after Baron.
He was named after Baron Davis, which my kids had to call up Baron Davis and go, is it okay if we name our dog Baron? And Baron said, it's fine, but I'm going to name my next dog Doug. I don't know if he has, and we got to get Baron on this podcast.
I mean, that's a great compliment.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I mean, my first German Shepherd that I had was Kobe, named right after the Denver series when he shot two air balls when he was 19 or 20. I said, this guy's going to be the best player in the league. And I had Kobe, the German Shepherd, for a decade. Rest in peace.
Do you know how many people have told me they have a drama dog?
Yeah,
a lot of dramas out
there.
Great
name. Great name for a dog.
Yeah. And everybody, because Adrian does love animals, should send their drama dog pictures to Adrian and tell him to get on this
I'm
podcast.
Guessing there's not a whole bunch of E-dogs.
This is some e-cats, is my guess. A lot of e-cats.
There might be some turtles out there.
Maybe a ferret.
Sure. Yeah.
There's a ferret named E that was sent to me. I saw that. So, as I was saying, we all rise together, and I need some support from all of you right now because I have to I've hit 52, and I've been avoiding it for 3 years now. But because of what Chadwick Boseman has inspired me, rest in peace. It's such a horrible, tragic story. And I'm doing the colonoscopy next week. And it's a prep.
What day of the week is it?
It is on a Wednesday. Today is a Friday. So on
Tuesday night, you got to drink the weird juice.
It is not Tuesday night. It is an entire day. On Monday at midnight, I have to stop eating. It becomes a liquid diet.
Yes.
And then you can only drink liquids, clear, and then do this horrific...
Like water Hershey squirts. And then a shake.
It's called the Hershey squirts.
No shake. It's got to be...
Doug, I don't want to freak you out, bro.
Diuretics you have to take.
You were going to freak out when I tell you the story of my... I have had two colonoscopies.
Because you enjoy them or you needed them?
No, I got the first one. I had polyps, a couple removed. And then they want you to go a little more often. So then I did my second time around.
It's weird that Dylan's doing colonoscopies once a week. I don't know what that's about.
Kev, so you go in for a checkup and then they...
Well, it was
the
time.
Test came
it was
back.
Time when you right. hit 50. You should go...
The test come back and you had to go in and have some work done, which was good that you went. Because you had polyps.
Yes. Right. When I got the colonoscopy, the operation, I woke up. Midway through the operation, it was horrible. Dude.
It's
the worst
it's
thing
like
ever.
Fucking horror movie.
And I was like, you could just feel the pain.
Oh my god!
Can you feel the pain?
Yes, it's way up there. You could feel this horrible pain.
Oh my god!
In your stomach. And I was like, more drugs, please.
Is that what you said?
Yeah, it's like you gotta knock me out. I'm not supposed to be awake right now.
Of course,
it was horrible.
All right,
it was horrible.
So
make sure they give you enough of whatever they're giving you because. They did not give it to me.
By the way, I brought this up because I thought my two friends were going to get me really ready for this.
God,
now
I'm
you're
scared.
Freaking the shit out of me.
No, dude, it was bad.
Oh, my God.
Were you a little pissed when you woke up? Were you like, yo, what's up? How did that
happen?
Yeah,
I was like, yeah, and they kind of played it off. Like I was still out of it,
played
though.
It off.
You know, like, oh, it's okay. That
fine.
Happened.
You're fine.
And
close
you're
your eyes.
Still out of it. So, I, you know, walked out. God. I had someone has to drive you home, you know. If I was completely alert, I probably would have berated the doctor for not putting me out enough.
I don't want to sound immature, but like, do you walk out of something like that? Do you limp out?
Yeah, I was able to limp. Kind
do
of
you
limp.
Really limp
I mean,
out?
It hurt. It hurt.
Doug, are you going to be limping out?
I'm feeling, all I'm thinking about is like Ving Rhames right now in Pulp Fiction. That's all I'm thinking about, and it's freaking
don't
just say
think
they're
it's going to be that bad.
They're not super gentle where they're tools. I'm telling you, they're not gentle.
Poor bedside manner.
But one thing I can tell you is you could win a hot dog eating contest. When this thing's over, you could eat so much food. You literally can.
And then we get to watch it all on Instagram. Doug, will you have a colonoscopy live on Instagram?
I am so freaked out right now. I almost need to take a break. But Conley,
you could be Joey Chestnut.
Conley, have you had
a
colonoscopy?
Content.
My girlfriend is the pressure is officially on, and I'm going to do it very soon.
I mean, you gotta, and honestly, for everybody out there, we're kind of joking around. You have to do
we're
this.
Doing it.
Get don't it done. Fuck get around it done. And get it done. I think after you're 40 is the time to
are
really
you gonna be limping away. Out? Is the question.
Which one of you is gonna drive me? Is the question, by the way. What kind of friends do I have here? Are you gonna take me, KD?
If you needed me to.
Yeah,
I think your girl could do that. I live in Malibu, so
I mean, I'd rather not, but I guess if you have no ride.
I mean, you guys live a lot closer. I'd have to drive an hour to pick you up.
No, Stock Tip Dave will get you in 2 seconds. He loves that
stock
stuff.
Tip.
By the way, it's so hot in L.A. Dylan in one of his 1969 American cars picking me up and all of a sudden us stalling and not being able to get home after a colonoscopy. Everything about
it happens,
is horrible,
bro.
So.
Any old classic car that's cool will break down.
Doug, I'm actually serious. Is there a version of your colonoscopy on Instagram?
No.
I'm not talking about the graphic stuff, but like, can we get it in the Instagram story? You want followers, bro?
I mean, I may have
Here it is on a silver platter. Get that camera up there. You know the camera loves you.
I mean, I may have to talk about the clear liquid diet and the day before and what I'm going through.
Yeah, do a whole story. It's better than your meals.
Be next to the toilet, bro. That's all I can say, man.
Just a real quick on the Instagram thing. Two things have happened. One, the Victory Podcast Instagram page got a blue check, which Kevin Dillon.
How does that happen?
I don't know, but Action Park Media doesn't have one. I don't know. And he's very upset about it. So while he makes fun of the blue check, we
I
got
I don't make
one.
Fun of the blue check. I make fun of people that are blue check biased, like yourself. Your exact quote was, I'll follow anybody with a blue check.
It means they're
he's
verified.
An elitist.
It means they're verified.
So you're saying that there's something wrong with Action Park Media because we're not verified?
I'm just saying, if Action Park hits you up, you want to be wary that it's really Action Park.
Do you have to have a certain amount of followers to get a blue check?
I don't know what you have to do.
Is that what it is? It reaches
it's different
point.
For a business account.
I can't give you any information except for we
How'd
have
you get
one,
your blue
and he
check?
Doesn't. I woke up, I had a blue check.
Really?
I don't know. No, actually, Michael Kivas, who
I was going to say, Doug, you Kivas made a bunch of phone calls.
I begged. I pleaded with the Instagram people. I'm like, please, oh, make man. Us fucking relevant, man. Come on, do it for Dylan. Do
this
it for
is
Johnny
humiliating
Drama.
Not having a blue check mark. What will people think of us?
But what I can tell you, though, on the blue check mark, because I do. Listen, this is for you guys. What I'm talking about right now is for you. I'm desperate to get Conor McGregor on this podcast. I know I'm not supposed to love him because I'm a Jew, but
no,
I love Conor McGregor.
Stop
okay,
it, dude.
I
stop.
Want him on the podcast. And Conor McGregor, Derek Jeter DM'd Kevin Conley.
No, he texted me, bro. It was a big difference. Okay.
Wow. Well, Conor DM'd me, but I have to find it. I should have pulled this
he
up.
Didn't
you know,
DM any of his Irish brethren?
He didn't say
went
much.
To you.
Well, Doug is the only one that was popping up in the dude's DMs.
Conor McGregor wrote, "Top man, Doug, let's do it." I don't know exactly what he means. I hope he doesn't want to fight me in a cage. Wow. But Conor wants to do something, and I've been drinking the proper 12, and I'm gonna drink more
You've
of it.
You've been drinking proper 12.
I've been drinking proper 12.
Really?
It's excellent. Yeah, it's excellent. And we're gonna get Conor on this podcast.
I'm gonna
at some
take my
point.
Bottle home before you drink it all.
They're going fast.
They're going quick. I mean, there was twice as many last week.
Give one plea to Conor to come on the podcast.
We love you. We're your Irish brethren. Even Doug. He's wearing
Did you
green
see how
today.
They threw that in? They threw that in. All right,
come on. We need you, brother.
What do you want me to say?
I want you to do something
you
that's
to
nice.
Conor
I mean, you're the business guy. We're trying to build the business. Conor
maybe
McGregor
I got
can
some
help
things.
Us.
Maybe I'm working some channels behind the scenes for Conor that you don't know about. Of course I want Conor McGregor on the podcast.
All right, anyway, Ken Austin, if you're listening, Conor McGregor, if you're listening, all of the Irish folks in the world, get Conor on the podcast. Send some messages. All right.
Hey, let's get all the YouTube members on the podcast too while we're at it.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, quick break from our sponsors.
Season 2, episode 2, My Maserati does 185.
Getting into this episode, I haven't seen it in a long time, and it is. It's just wish fulfillment, aspiration, and great relationships between men, and the stuff with E and his girl is great as well. So,
hey, Doug, sorry to interrupt, but just for people listening at home, like when you're going to incorporate like a car or something, and how does something like that work? You call them and say, I love Maseratis. We want to kind of do this thing. Do you pitch somebody? How did we end up with the Maserati?
You know what? It really, because we were just beginning, it was so hard for us to get anything. I just loved the car and obviously the song title. And then we went out and rented it, you know? And a couple of years later, I swear to you, like either the president of Maserati, somebody emailed me that we made that car because tons of people bought it after seeing it on the show, and it is a beautiful, amazing car.
Did they give you a rental later too? I remember you driving it up in your Maserati.
That's some of the incredible behind the scenes stuff is you put it on and then they gave me that car to drive around for a year, just like Vince had. So I wrote it and then it actually came true, even though that wasn't the plan. But
so when we were shooting, that was a rental car?
That was a rental car. That was a rental car we had to be careful with, and it was great. I really love that car, and I love the guys in that car, and I love the opening for a number of reasons. It is just your dream wish fulfillment that your boys are out there, and you're like able to go, here you go, E, you're doing a great job, Here's the car. And then some of the camaraderie between the guys.
Well,
and
it's us roughing him up too. He's blindfolded, so I decided to give him a really good smack in the head. You got pissed at me at one stage, Kat.
It's not that I was pissed, but I wasn't in the script, so it started with, like, in rehearsal,
a
like
small
a light
little
tap on the back of the head.
Yes, I was saving something, because you've been busting my chops about the season finale of season one finale, because tackled me on the plane, so I was like, I got something for you, bro.
So when we started rolling, Dylan hauled off, and he smacked me pretty good, and Dylan, you could see your reaction. You knew you hit me too hard.
Yes, I did. After the take, you went, hey, bro, come on, man.
And it really was. Honestly, it was like four brothers, Adrian, Jerry, Kevin, and they would wrestle each other where every once in a while someone would get a little more upset than the other person wanted, but they would really like they were brothers, and it comes across on the screen.
And you see it again later on in the episode too, when we're at the Laker game, the Lakers are all gone, the game's over, and we're walking across the floor, we're all slapping each other upside the head and wrestling. It's great. We're just like a bunch of kids.
Yeah, and I we talked about it off camera, but watching that again, because that, I believe, was our first time shooting at a live event like that. And we did,
because we did Klitschko.
That's right.
But this is a question, and I'm pretty sure it's Ari Emanuel, but how did we get those floor seats?
Ari Emanuel. Those are his seats.
They're his seats, and we just had some pretty good access, because the Lakers don't fuck around.
You know what? You got Mark Wahlberg, you get good access, and that's the truth. Before people knew who we were, Mark was able to get us things that were unbelievable, and even shooting that day, I remember sitting there going, I can't believe, we are shooting this. We're on the floor. And we're telling a story, unlike the Klitschko fight, because there was a couple of lines in there, but we're really doing
scenes.
We have a real scene, and these guys had to act that with a crowd of 30,000 people there. How was that?
But it was great. I was just wondering about Jeremy Piven berating the officials, the refs.
Yeah, yeah.
Did he say, "Hey, I'm gonna yell at you a little bit"? Or
we kind of talked to them, but I think they ignored him. But that was it was all scripted. And then we got Dave Levinson, which is Steve Levinson's father, executive producer of the show.
Sit down in front.
And he's great. I mean, he's actually really good telling him to sit down. But that whole scene, like I said, is such wish fulfillment. And what is a better thing than sitting on the floor with your best friends? Especially
great,
these guys who, they were sneaking at the Madison Square Garden to see the Knicks and sitting in the last row of the place and were thrilled. And now they're on the floor with these guys.
Front row seats.
And they're talking that, because the episode is about, is Vince going to do Aquaman, is he going to read this script? And Ari is selling him, which is real, that Jack Nicholson, from Batman is over there. And
then I was admiring Lamar Odom's beautiful calves. I'm like, wow, look at the calves on that guy.
Yeah.
Is that where the calf thing started?
That's where it started, right there.
Is that the first time you mentioned calves?
Yes. We had a couple real beers out there on the floor, too. So, I mean, it was like we were drinking actual beer, which was cool.
That calf stuff started in Hawaii on a trip with my ex-wife, Melissa, who's the basis of Ari's wife. But I have small calves. I'm a superb athlete, but
really?
I have small calves. And
I got tree trunks, bro. I got tree trunks.
She literally
literally
came up with that, though. I swear that Melissa Ellen said something about that. And I'm like, that is because I didn't know that was even a thing. I did not know that that existed. I thought it was the funniest thing. And what we were talking about before we started is I couldn't believe that you didn't go, what? This is the weirdest story ever. But you embraced it and you absolutely kill it in this episode.
He embraced it because he's got monster calves.
Yes,
if he was insecure about his calves, he would have something to say.
I was like, you guys are going to have to shoot around my massive calves.
Yeah. And one of the greatest moments of that episode with Paul Green, who actually played for the Seahawks.
Tight end, right?
Tight end and the Saints. You're admiring his calves, and he just thinks you're
what are you looking at, bro? It's like, Come on, are they real? Be straight out with me.
I mean, it is so it's bizarre funny. Looking so back funny. At it, but it's
well, it would be a
hilarious.
Weird thing for all right, keep it to yourself. Talk to you about because you're like, is this guy being a dick? Or like, is he yeah. You know what I mean?
But if you tell me they're real, I ain't buying it. And then this girl walks by with big boobs. And I'm like, I ain't buying hers either.
Yeah. You probably, by the way, like in 2020, you probably get beat up if you ask this guy if his calves are real. I mean, I don't know.
He was a big boy, you know,
he was
too,
a
man.
Big guy, and he was great. He was actually,
he was awesome.
Performance was excellent.
He was great.
Watching it back, so shout out to him. So we're talking season two, episode two, My Maserati Does 185. And, you know, we had a great beach party there, which yeah. is, you know, those were both fun to shoot and very challenging. Do you remember that night, how late it was? And we had awesome. Yes. We had,
and it gets cold.
Yeah, it was freezing.
It does.
But we had Jamie Presley, who was awesome. Yes. And we had Holly Valance, who was also great. Mm-hmm. You know, it was one of those things, again, where, you know, you're shooting it and you're like, God, this is just, it's just fun. Yeah. So
look at that, and it's definitely a party you want to, if you're sitting somewhere, you're like, man, that would be a fun party to be at.
Yeah.
I've been watching it back, and I did watch the whole episode. I watched pieces of it this episode yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice, Kev. It's nice for you to do your homework.
Yeah, finally.
I was being removed from it. I was like, wow, that looked like a good party.
Yeah it was fun. And,
well, it's
and,
always a good party when everyone gets naked and jumps in the ocean.
So. Yeah, yeah.
Everyone but drama. He's like, I don't want anyone to see my legs.
And you're like drinking a bottle of champagne or something.
Yeah,
it really,
chugging it.
It really is. So I got to say it again, Kevin. I'm not kissing your ass. I honestly feel bad for you watching it. Like you sell me on how uncomfortable you are that you're losing work because of your legs. It really
so
is amazing.
Nuts. That's why I love this character.
You know, and it's forward thinking, by the way, because it is like body shaming, which is now, you know, it's like, you know, an anti thing to do. They would never be able to ask you to take your pants off. I don't think, even if you're playing like an athlete. But anyway, it really gets us into the theme of the episode. And I want to talk about something about.
And by the way, this is when I started falling in love with Malibu too, because I didn't live in Malibu. I live there now. I've been there for 12 years.
Yeah.
But we started filming out there and I fell in love with Malibu.
It's
even though my character
place.
Hated Malibu. Yeah. It's like, I got no reception.
Yeah.
I can't get to my auditions. The PCH is a parking lot.
Yep. It gets us into the theme, really the theme of this episode. And E, you know, everybody always asks, is there a lead to the show? And I don't want to say there's a lead because I got four guys.
It's an ensemble cast.
You got four guys and you could say five, but it was always from the beginning, it was through E's eyes. And especially in this episode, even though everybody has good stuff to do and Vince is talking about his movie, Ari's trying to convince him to read a script, drama's devastated, Turtle's doing his usual, trying to tell people he's not just the gopher. Yeah. But really, it's E's story. And he's got, you know, this problem with his girlfriend that I think a lot of people can relate to. We discussed this a couple episodes ago, Kevin Dillon, whether someone cheating on you and they're debating whether that's actually happening or not. So
well, I do want to say one thing. When you said there is no real lead to the show, Kevin Connolly always reminded us who's number one on the call sheet.
Sometimes you got to pull that one out.
Let me ask you a question, though, because that was a big thing. Were you number one on the call sheet because of Kevin Connolly, or was it actually
Let me tell you a funny thing about being number one on the call sheet.
And can you explain what exactly that
means? Okay, so for people listening, before every day of shooting, the night before, you get a call sheet, and it's the next day's work, down to a T. Who's working, what time everybody's supposed to be there. It's like an in-detailed playbook of the next day. So the actors are all, they all have a number. It's like if you look in scenes, it's going to be characters 1, 3, and 7, or whatever it is.
And it's usually in order to who the biggest star of the movie is.
And it's a very ego-driven kind of thing.
Well,
you know?
But it became that. Not that it was ego-driven between the guys, because we were fine. I mean,
we
had a problem with it, but...
he was number five.
Let me tell you, all that meant was I shot the most scenes in the pilot.
Okay. I didn't know that.
So that's, if you do that into a program,
but it'll... boy, you rubbed it into our faces, didn't you?
Because it was funny.
But that's what I meant. I didn't mean it was an ego thing between you guys. It is a thing that's known in the town. Yeah. And Connolly, who is funny, would always say, guess who's number one on the call sheet? So,
all right, I was just being humble. I was the lead of the show.
Kevin was number one. But also, before the show started, when I was writing it, he was the lead of the show. It's just that simple. And this episode is a really interesting example because he is playing some version of myself. And it is an interesting thing because I think this episode is why there's a lot of guys out there who are like, he's my least favorite. And it's because they don't like the debate of whether he's sleeping with the perfect 10 model. And, you
or
know,
they just think I'm like a bummer. I'm like the break up the party. Yeah. In a certain...
You're the voice of reason.
And he's the moral compass of
the
show.
The,
and
the straight guy, kind of, right? I guess.
But he's the moral compass of the show. And every show has one, and every show needs one. And also, just talking about, you know, this episode, it's relatively tame again. Like, there's a lot of talk about how aggressive these guys are, how it's a tame show. And it is really, this episode, you feel it. This is friendship, loyalty, and guys. They're not being predators. They're just good guys, and they're looking out for each other. But he's going through something here because his girlfriend's blowing him off. And he meets a beautiful girl there.
But also, the smart money, he is in denial, but I think the fellas, the writing is on the wall that she's cheating on him.
We could tell.
Right.
We know something's up, and we got to confront him.
Right. And that's, I'm sure you guys have all dealt with this in your real life, when you have a friend who you know their girl's up to no good, and you don't know how to bring it up. And I, you know, I have always been the type of person that thinks if your friend is close enough, you tell him. What do you think?
Yeah. I agreed 100%. I wish more of them did that, actually.
Oh, well, now we're going to real life.
I don't know that you come right out with an accusation. I would say, you know what? Those numbers aren't adding up for me personally.
Yeah. And of course, Turtle can control himself. And he's like, she's cheating on you, bro.
When that episode aired, there were some people that thought it was beneath me to tell Kristen that we had sex again in the morning.
Oh, I like that. I thought it was great.
But by the way, it was like one more shot.
But
the point is, I didn't. My character didn't.
And not only was it a discussion in the room, it was HBO.
Yes, you did, actually.
No, he did not.
I did not.
You did tell her.
No,
yes, you told her. And by the way, I had something else going on, and I fucked her again this morning.
He's lying.
But I didn't really do it. I just said that to hurt her, and people thought it was beneath my character.
And I am telling you that HBO wanted me to cut that. And I remember, because this is a premiere episode. We saw it in a room with tons of people. What happened, Kevin Connolly?
Well, my mom was there, so it was weird. But yeah, there was an applause.
There was a bit. No,
it was a touche line.
This was not a laugh. This was big applause. Like
applause.
Okay. That he stood up for himself.
Yeah, we're with E. And the better thing for me, which I think is a big guy thing and a big reason why some people go after E, he says he did not actually sleep with that beautiful woman who wanted to. And that's why I think he's a good guy, because he actually still thought he was with his girlfriend. And the first time he did it, he thought they were broken up. Now he finds out they're back together. So he actually stops himself. Now, you can debate it all day long, but would you have said no, Kevin Connolly?
To me, not that I want to get so deep, but for me, taking it even a step further, I think is when they're debating, the guys are debating about whether or not I tell Kristen or whatever. And Vince says, like, look, basically you made a mistake. Just don't do it anymore and don't say anything. So that's the question. Do you tell on yourself?
He's dancing around your question.
Wait, no, what was it?
Would you have said no to her? Given the exact same circumstances, you thought you were broken up, so you slept with someone. You really didn't cheat at that moment. Then you think you're back together. Would you have slept with her? I mean, I know the answer.
Well, we're splitting hairs here. So if you're saying, like, if we had sex at 4 o'clock in the morning, am I going to all of a sudden at 9:30 be like, sorry?
Well, after your girlfriend called you and said, I love you and I miss you. I
mean, by the way, maybe not.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, did that happen? Did that happen? You know what? Maybe not. I mean, if I really loved my girlfriend and I were, maybe not. Maybe
I don't do it the first time. I don't do it the first time because I don't cheat.
Yeah, but
it wasn't cheating.
The girl was like, he thought she was blowing him off. They all were convinced that she was cheating on him. Yeah. So he felt single in that moment.
Well, if she didn't know she was.
So he felt single and he went with that and then he felt guilty. I think it actually works great for the character. And I think for human beings out there, if you're a decent human being, you actually do say no in the morning.
If I made a mistake and I really loved my girlfriend and something like that, I would not do that in the morning if she called me. Professor.
Okay, so then let's go back to the other thing, which I'm not a cheater, but I am a person who likes to clear their conscience, which I wrote that line because I do think about that. It is a selfish act. If you want to stay with somebody and you did make a terrible mistake, the question is, do you come clean? And what does that do for anybody? So I don't know. It's a question.
Well, you keep looking at me, bro.
Well, it hurts my neck to look at the fucking businessman in the booth over there. Here's the thing.
I think truthfully, if you do it, it's pretty much over in some capacity.
Yes.
Right? So if you cheat, it's going to be over in some capacity. Yeah. But it's going to get used against you forever, most likely, right?
It doesn't have to be over. I mean, if you're sorry about it, maybe they could work it out, but
that's what I'm saying. But I mean, listen, I do know people that have.
Doug, so you're telling me if you made a mistake and you were like hammered and something happened, you would wake up, if you were completely in the clear, you would wake up and you would say, hey, you know, I got to talk to you about something.
I'm not saying I would. I'm asking the question. I'm not being an asshole. I haven't been in that situation, but I have come clean about things that had no business coming clean about, that just made things worse, that didn't do anything. And if you want to keep the relationship going, you're really just destroying it. So while you think you're being honest.
Well, if it's a one-time thing.
That's what I'm saying.
Maybe you could work it out.
Yeah.
But if it's something more and it was, you know, some kind of relationship there, then it's.
Vince gives, I think, sound advice.
Me too. I think
just
I
don't does. Do it again and keep your mouth shut because you're going to lose her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I actually think that's the proper advice. I think sometimes people make mistakes and not every single one of them needs to be voiced, provided you can correct it and move on with your life and action.
And if it is a mistake and you are sorry and it's not an ongoing thing.
Yeah.
All right. So other things in the episode, which are great, is, you know, Ari is like, he needs Ian Vince to like read this script and go in. And he shows up in a sauna, which some people can think is ridiculous. It's not. It's based on reality. When I was about to leave my agency, they actually, at Burke Williams, my agent showed up and blocked my car in. He didn't walk into the sauna, okay, but he blocked my car in. So have you had any crazy, when we were all hot, have you had any crazy things that your agents ever did to like try to keep you as a client when they were insecure that you were going somewhere? I mean,
no, not really for me. I was never the top client.
So. I have to say this about the Maserati. I didn't love the Maserati.
Whoa. Hey now.
Okay.
There goes our free Maserati's KD.
Now listen, like I know that it looked goddamn good on camera and it looked sharp, but getting in that thing, it was like getting into a UFO. You had to reverse engineer it. You didn't know how to turn it on.
Because it was small?
Because it's so low to the ground.
But you didn't know how to turn it on. You couldn't turn on the air conditioner.
I do remember.
The Aston Martin is another story. That car's dope.
That was cool.
I don't know.
Cool.
People would ask me about the Maserati. I didn't want to badmouth it, but if you had the Maserati and the Aston Martin, I take the Aston Martin any day of the week.
I'll take that Lincoln any day over all of them.
This is a good topic to get to. And listen, I hate to confess it too, but they gave me the Maserati, as I said. And honestly, there were a couple of times the electronics on it, I got stuck in the car. I swear to God, I couldn't get out. It was
it was like me at the Playboy Mansion. Do you guys remember that when I got stuck in the trunk? We'll talk about that in the next episode.
Remember that. But it was a beautiful car. It brings us to, we've had some great cars on this show. Ferraris, Porsches, the Lincoln, which all of us love.
But aside from that, Dylan does it in his personal life. Dylan, how many cars do you have?
I sold a couple, but let's see.
Many, he says. How many?
I got a 69 Firebird, 69 Camaro convertible. I got a 63 Corvette. I got a 72 GTO convertible, 455. I got a 69 Chevy short bed pickup. And then I got my Camaro.
Right, you got six.
I counted
cars.
Six or
Camaro.
Seven.
And I got way too many pinball machines.
Kevin Dillon only drives American cars.
Only American, baby.
Which is admirable. And
God bless America.
There's always that point in the show, the season of the show, where you know that everybody got a raise because on day one, they all pull in new cars.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget it.
I'm pulling in a classic.
You know, I got a Range Rover. I'm ashamed to say it. I got a Range Rover.
I remember this.
So I pull into, it's day one of season three or whatever it is, and it's still dark out. It's probably 6 o'clock in the morning. It's that kind of gray.
Early morning.
Yeah. And Dylan is out in front and he's smoking his cigarette, drinking a cup of coffee. I knew it was him. You could just almost see the silhouette of him. I'm getting out of my Range Rover. I'm so excited. I love it. And Dylan is shaking his head and he looks at me dead seriously and he says, God forbid you drove American during hard times.
which I thought
and I'm going like, and I'm like, looking, I'm like, you know what? Dylan only drives American cars. Which
I thought
great.
You were going to tell us what the car
American.
Was. What was the car?
It was a Range Rover.
His car was a Range Rover.
Range Rover.
No, I think I pulled in my, at that stage, I had a 1970 GMC.
I thought you were also saying that Kevin came in a new car because he got the raise. Not a new car, but a classic.
Well, I buy old cars and I fix them up. I'd buy them cheap.
Also, dude, Dylan has a sick like Camaro, like blacked out, like a really sharp looking.
Well, that's why I thought. That's why I thought you said he got a raise. I thought he shows up in a new old 67 classic, and Dylan looks like he's in the fucking Outsiders. You know,
I used to pull up in all my a lot of the old cars.
I thought you were also getting to Kevin Dillon pulls up in these cars now. Now we've had
Dylan; those cars break down a lot.
They do.
And Kevin Dillon lost a key to a 67. Right. What car? I mean, he lost a key. It's like 4 weeks of trying to find a key.
69 Camaro convertible. My buddy lost the key. He wanted to use it for a stand-up comedy show. Jay Moore was doing it.
How do you get it back?
I had to get a locksmith in there to change out the...
So how difficult that is? Because, you know,
that's a lot of work. It's a pain in the ass. Now I'm going to change out all my doors.
I have a Tesla. You know what I had to do? I had to open my phone up and click unlock on the app. And then
nice. Dylan, when we were at Saratoga for the horse race, and your car broke down fucking
my
highway.
Engine blew up. My 69 Firebird blew up.
That you had in New York blew up.
That I had in New York. There was a problem with the thermostat. I didn't know it was overheating.
It was already 180 degrees outside.
It was so hot out. I shouldn't have tried to drive that 69 Firebird that hadn't started up in so long all the way out. I mean, it was like a 3.5 hour drive.
And then you had fuel injection problems and you were leaking gas in the Action Park parking lot last week.
I got that all fixed. I will literally do a lot of this work myself. I've pulled engines out.
Do you change your own oil?
Rebuilt.
Do you change your
That's
own
easy,
oil?
Bro. That's kid stuff.
The guy builds
I'll throw
kitchens.
It up on jack stands and I'll do all kinds
Do you
of
get
stuff.
Under the car? Do you have one of those
Hell
things
yeah,
where you
bro.
Slide under? Like,
yes.
Really?
Yes. You got to be able to roll under there.
Kevin Dillon.
I always wanted to lift. I wanted to get a full on lift so I could stand up and do the work. It's really a pain in the butt.
Where do you park all these cars? In Malibu?
I got them kind of scattered out in a couple different places, but I got three of them in Malibu right now.
Did you lose any cars?
No, I didn't.
And also,
I didn't. I kept my neighborhood pretty free of fire. So I was
Dylan, good. You. So
but that was my getaway car, my 69 Camaro, because I couldn't get gas. Everyone took all the gas. Everyone filled up right away. So I couldn't get any gas. Thank God I had that 69 Camaro so I could get
away.
But
your regular Camaro, that's like you have to have it because that's your go-to.
Yeah, but I didn't have any gas in
right.
that.
So I'm just saying like you have to have the Camaro because it's your most, the new one.
I'd get rid of
reliable.
That new Camaro. I'd keep my 69 Camaro.
If you had to have your one go-to car, it would be your 69
my
Camaro?
My 69 Camaro convertible. It's got rebuilt 327 engine. It puts about 425 horsepower. It's just a beauty. Everything about it drives new. New power steering, new,
interesting.
New power brakes.
What about on the show? What's your guys' favorite car on the show?
The Lincoln, baby. The Lincoln was awesome.
You ain't moving Dylan off of that Lincoln, Doug. You ain't
Suicide doors. I mean, it's just so sweet. I don't know if you remember early on, I was like, hey, we should make it more of a muscle car. You're like, no. You corrected me on that, and I'm glad you did.
And
do
you know
that Lincoln was
just the Maserati.
I mean, he has the Maserati. I mean, this guy hasn't seen the show. By the way, he can recite every fucking line from Unhappily Ever After, but he knows nothing about this show. It's incredible. But the Lincoln, it was not my pick. A lot of people ask about that car.
Oh, I thought that was your pick.
It was my pick after. What happened is, and I think his name was Maurice, and I'm blanking, which is terrible. Yeah. And we should figure
the guy
out.
Who owned the car.
No, the guy who shot the title sequence, who directed it and filmed it. They picked the car. They picked the song. Obviously, I had to approve both, but I was like, this is great. And then it just felt, without me really knowing you at that point, it felt like a Johnny Drama car. It felt like a Kevin Dillon car. And it just really, it worked for the show.
It,
and
it was
came.
Perfect.
Is that the car that Kennedy got killed in?
Yes.
It's not the exact car, though.
No. He had a stretched out one.
Yeah.
Right.
But it was the same year.
It also, though, it brings us to a question that a lot of people ask.
Or it was the same body style. It might have been a year off. We had a 64. I think he was in a 65.
What's going on in the title sequence? A lot of people ask what you guys are looking at the end of this title sequence. It looks like you're all kind of trying to figure something out. I think I know the answer, but do you remember this?
We were at Lucky Strike Bowling Alley, and we were looking, all right, yeah, we're going to go in here. And then we had to get those doors to all close and sink.
Yeah.
And it was a real pain in the ass. But we had to do that like 20 times.
But was someone signaling you so you all went at the same time? Or?
Not really. Right. We kind of looking. I was doing up my hair before.
It feels like we're looking at something.
A lot of people, actually, I'm actually trying to pretend like I've noticed it. I haven't, but a lot of people text me that it looks like you guys are like all looking at something.
It might have been the giant camera crane hovering above our heads that we were.
No. We were looking at where we were going. Like, oh, here it is. Here's Lucky Strike. So we all kind of looked over there. I did a little thing with my hair in the mirror.
Right.
And then we all had to kind of go through and synchronize those doors. Do you remember how tough that was, Kev?
The slightest
that was hard.
Clue.
So there was, all right. But there was no, as you remember it, there was no signal where someone was going, slam
the doors
hammered.
Now.
Was he hammered during the title
sequence? He had a couple grippuccinos. It was late.
It was a Saturday night. It was an all-night Saturday into Sunday morning.
We had a couple beers.
Yeah, we had a couple beers.
Right. Well, again, just to say it, I do take a lot of credit where I deserve it. But the title sequence, I honestly, they discussed it. They pitched us an idea. And it was, when I saw it, I was like, this is amazing. I wanted Funk 49. I put the music to the scene they shot. It just didn't go with it. And they gave me the Jane's Addiction Perry Farrell song, and it was perfect for minute one. Although there was some debates with HBO about that, and I fought them because I wanted it. But I didn't know the song beforehand. Did you?
Well, I remember pitching to you guys Kings of Leon, Holy Roller Novocaine, which...
Well, that was around before the show?
Yeah.
That, really?
Yeah, that had just like came out, so it was really hot at the time.
Kevin Dillon.
And we actually played it to the title sequence, and it worked out really nicely, too. So
Dylan was early on to the Kings of Leon.
I was, because I met the guys at the Sunset Marquee, and I had a couple beers. We smoked a fatty, and we and they played some of their music for me. I was like, oh, man, you guys are good.
So, Tennessee boys. They're amazing, and we almost used them to open the movie
Nashville,
as well.
Nashville guys.
Okay, let's get a quick word from our sponsors.
Coming back, I have a question, and it's funny. I get tripped up. I don't really know the answer, or I get the answer reversed, but... A question that people always ask me, and I'm sure you guys have talked about this, Johnny Chase and Vincent Chase, same mother, different father. How does that break down?
Well, we talk about it in this episode, and we talk about the calves. And I'm like, no, bro, you're lucky. You got mom's calves.
You got mom's calves.
I got dad's calves. I got no calves. Yeah.
Which, by the way, I know I wrote it, but it's an amazing line. Like, you think it's a compliment to see you have great calves that are mom's calves.
Yeah.
And then your poor dad is some, like, stick figure or something.
Calfless dude.
Yeah. No, but do they have the same mother or the same father?
Well, what happened is, and people all the time. So
me
it's
too.
So it's very clear on the Instagram, all the people who... They call me stupid or I'm dumb.
Well, you pulled the old switcheroo.
I switched for one reason, okay? Yes. I switched because I wanted the mothers to get off of that plane. Yeah. I didn't think it was as cool for the fathers to get off this plane. And honestly, in the room where we work, when I did it, people were like, are you crazy? And I said from day one, I am not David Simon. I am not David Chase. I want to make this episode good. And whoever's thinking about a year ago, okay, God bless them. But I also did that with... Ari's kids changed. He had three at one point, and then he had two.
I'm still confused. So you're saying that when it started out,
yes,
they
in this
had the
episode,
same father, which
same
is
father.
Why they have the name
the Chase.
Yeah,
and then I kind of fought you on it too when you wanted to make the mothers.
Yeah,
I said,
and
we
then you wanted the mothers
the
coming off the plane, and you changed it to the same mothers.
Yeah, same mothers, and Joe Cocker, Venner did not pick that song, but feeling all right. And if four dudes walked off that plane, I'm just not as emotionally. And I got emotional when I watched it. It made me think of my mother. And I just loved it.
They had to be moms.
Initially, they had the same father, so they could both have the name Chase.
Yes.
But because of the visual of the moms walking off the plane, you said, I don't care.
Yeah, but also the only reason they probably have the same father is because of that line. And I do think it is hilarious to say, you got mom's calves. As if
but
it's
you
a could compliment.
Change that. You could switch that line around. You got dad's calves. I got mom's.
It's funny that mom has better calves than the dad for a guy. I mean, that's what's funny. Yeah. I mean, so I want to see the Chase father's legs and the Chase mother's legs, which Mercedes Rule had
she had
great legs.
By the way, it happens all the time on TV shows.
Yeah.
Well, didn't they switch out with a kid on marriage? They've done it before, right?
Listen, they've done it. Darren on Bewitched changed in the middle of the show. But anyway, I mean,
that's right.
When you have the great writers, usually they have a book and they know everything. I don't. I did it episode by episode. Hopefully it was funny. And if it's not, sorry.
It wasn't that big of a deal, but I feel like people ask me that a lot.
People do ask it a lot.
Yeah,
so,
I've heard a lot about that too. Yeah, but for the most part, it blew over pretty good.
Let's just get to the ending of this episode, which I love so much. These guys, and I don't remember where we shot that scene. Do you?
What scene?
Where we're outside with the phone company line. Where is that?
Oh,
is that Shad? Or where was, I don't remember.
Were we at Joffrey's in Malibu?
We were somewhere like that. We were at a hotel. I don't think we were at Joffrey's.
But I feel like we were on the
beach.
We
did shoot at Joffrey's. Yeah. And I just ate there two nights ago.
Joffrey's is awesome.
Oh, so good.
What'd that run you?
But yeah, I had a great line in there too. It's like, hey, think about it. We could all be working for the phone company.
Yeah.
They're like, what the hell does that mean? I'm like, think about it. But where did you get that line, Doug?
And the truth is, that's from a friend of mine from high school. And he always used to say that. It was his wisdom of like, life is so good, we could be doing X. And he would say different things.
Yeah, I was going to say a phone company job isn't the worst job.
No.
I mean, they got
good
benefits.
It's not sitting at Joffrey's at 2 o'clock on a Tuesday with your boys driving Maseratis. Yeah.
No,
and,
it's not.
You know, and that's what the theme of the show is. It's wish fulfillment. You got out of this poor neighborhood that these guys grew up in, and you're living the life and you're riding off into the sunset. But I want to say, since we're talking about riding off into the sunset, and
I know what you're going to say.
And this, well, we're going to get there. This episode ends great with E riding off in the car to Vegas. We get Vegas Baby Vegas, which you didn't even know we're going to have a Vegas episode yet.
Vegas
at that
Baby
point.
Vegas, which you got from Swingers, no?
Yes, yes. Okay. Swingers, one of my favorite movies of all time. And then, but riding off into the sunset, all you got to do right now is go to Kevin Dillon's Instagram, and you'll see what looks like he got our genius cinematographer, Steven Fearberg, to shoot. Because Dylan's with a beautiful woman on a horse, holding hands at magic hour.
We just got lucky. I mean, we did. You pay extra for the sunset ride, so you pay a little bit more. We're up in the mountains, and it was just beautiful. We had a orange sky. It's just amazing.
And what's beautiful about this is
it was a great picture to wake up to.
But also, Kostlikey driving off in that Maserati.
It was a great night. It was just unbelievable.
Nice,
quite literally
woman.
Riding off into the sunset on a horse, looking like Clint Eastwood and Joe Kidd.
Yeah, I mean, you look unbelievable, and I'm glad you're happy. And
well, thank you guys. I appreciate it.
And we love you.
I lost a couple LBs. If I don't know if you could tell.
Yeah, you're on the breakup diet, bro. You
guys breakup diet, man.
You got to try to. And now, and now that
saltines
you're dating,
and tuna was
but
it.
But also, too, now that you're dating, you'll keep on the diet.
All right. Well, I like it. I like it. And this
good
was
episode.
As
fellas.
Usual, this was fun. So
awesome.
Episode 2, season 2.
Great episode.
Maserati does 185.
Both of those first two episodes from season 2 are amazing.
Yeah, really felt great. And again, great to see you guys.
Always.
And that wraps up another episode of Victory, the podcast. I'm Doug Ellen at Mr. Doug Ellen.
I'm Kevin Dillon at Kevin Dillon Official. Victory!